listening to WCNO Palm City. Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning. Welcome to WCNO and A Biblical Response here on this beautiful Tuesday in the second week of March. And I'm surrounded by wonderful, God-loving people here in the studio. My wonderful favorite co-host for this program, I'm going to introduce them to you, and then I'll just open up the two areas from the news we're going to be looking at today. First, my brother Keith Masters. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good.
Your favorite co-host for this program, and you've got other favorite co-hosts for the other program.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to be fair here.
You have to be fair, right? Well,
we don't take offense at it. We don't.
Well, if you were on the other program, you'd be my favorite co-host. But it's a blessing to work with you. And that's
amen.
I love what God does in faithful community and in God's holy church. And the people he brings together to do ministry together. It's awesome.
Family, yep.
It is.
Yep.
And then Stephanie Jacobson, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's nice out today.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's a beautiful day.
Gorgeous day. Even if it was raining, you know, because...
No,
it wouldn't be.
Not today.
Oh, okay.
Not today. No, it's good to be here.
It is good to be here. And Ann Limhoko, good morning
to
you.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. And I'm blessed to be here, so...
See, I get Ann twice a week, so.
Yes.
Uh-oh, she's his favorite. Now we know.
I will say I really don't have favorites, but wherever I'm with people who love the Lord,
amen.
That's an exciting thing right there.
That is exciting.
It is.
It's a joyful thing.
It is a joyful thing. And I can't wait to be, you know, especially, I'm going to use the word enmeshed. Because when you're really doing frontline ministry like what we're doing, you're enmeshed together in a wonderful, passionate, exciting, and challenging opportunity.
The word challenge really sticks out
there,
David, today.
It does.
It really does. Because some of these things we talk about on here are very challenging, even to us when we're preparing, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we were just talking about how we could feel kind of like, Keith, you said you felt it since last, you get it every like Tuesday, Monday night. What do you call it? Like,
attack? Spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare that comes because we deliver a lot of things.
Mm.
And I don't regret delivering. We don't regret it at all. That's why we're here. But it is not easy. So.
It's not always easy. And I think if you've been listening for a while to this program, you understand that it's how hard it is. It should be difficult sometimes to do what we do, come together and to look at things knowing we bring kind of our own personal stuff, and we have to put that off to the side for the larger issue, which is we're getting the word out. We're really wanting to listen to what God would have us say about the events that are that he's put before us. And so we do that. We know, too, that sometimes you listeners get a little frustrated because of how we approach something. And sometimes because we do feel called to challenge our listeners to get more involved in the political process going on around us, and we all believe, I don't put words in everybody's mouth, but that is an aspect, the active part of the Great Commission is to go into the world, as Jesus said, and when you go in the world, what do you got to do? You got to bring Christ to the world, and when you see how the world is different from what Jesus taught and commanded, you have to point out the differences.
Right.
And sometimes that's uncomfortable, and for Christians, some Christians haven't been yet, I'm going to say, discipled in such a way that their faith, they see their faith as more of an active, ongoing response to the word, as the word of God is uttered into the world and to look at how things need to change in terms of the gospel. Anyway, having said that, so what are we looking at today? There's a couple things. We've actually covered them before in the past. Last week, as a matter of fact, Iran was in the news, and the action the U.S. and Israel have against the leadership of Iran, more not the people per se, but the leadership and their attitudes toward Israel and toward their anyone who is not believing, doesn't follow their teachings is an enemy. So there's that. And then also, and the first point we're going to touch, which is James Tallarico, who's in the news, having won the Democratic primary in Texas for the open Senate seat, or it's not open, but to run against the incumbent, who is a Republican, I believe. And so James Tallarico has some interesting baggage as a self-proclaimed progressive Christian. We're going to take another look at what that means today and the challenge that is. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further because I want everyone else to jump in. Now you know we're going to look at it. So.
Now you know why we were saying it was hard.
It was a hard decision. Yeah, it was a difficult call yesterday.
That was from the primaries. And he won the Democratic ticket in the initial primaries. So he gets to run against the Republican candidate and come November for the election. And the reason why we're bringing him up is because of his progressive Christian values. And to say the least, they're not Christian at all.
It's a paradox. Progressive Christian, because we should just call him a progressive. He's not a Christian.
There you go.
He self-identifies as Christian, but he's not a Christian.
Right.
And the concern here is that people are following him who go to church on Sundays thinking that what he's saying is okay. And this is the issue. And it's a serious concern.
Yeah. Because we talked about this. We talked about him back in July when he appeared on the Joe Rogan show, and Joe Rogan gave him a huge platform because Joe Rogan is very popular. I think he's the number one podcast right now. Mm-hmm. And who would have thought that now Tallarico is sitting before us as the Democrat nominee for the U.S. Senate seat?
Well,
it'll be a long run, but still, people need to wake up.
Yeah, he used to be a former public school teacher.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for teachers getting in there and teaching. But if this was what he was teaching to the students, and he's a current Presbyterian seminarian.
Yeah.
So this is disconcerting with some of the things that he's been talking about. And I know we're going to get into that in just a minute. But, we've prayed over this program today. And I think that we need to continue as we even go through the program, because we want to speak truth. We want to speak it very boldly. Mm-hmm. And we also want to recognize from the beginning that all people are image bearers of God. Mm-hmm. And God has ultimate power to do whatever he wants with these people. So we are bringing it to light so that people can be praying and can be praying against those things that are godly. I just wanted to say that in the beginning, because I feel I don't want anybody thinking we're coming at these people, but we have to stand. We have to. This is the moment. This is your moment. The people that are hearing us on the radio right now, this is your moment to stand, and it may be on your knees in your bedroom or in your living room for Texas right now, because Texas is having a struggle, and he is one of the main players in it.
And so tonight, later on, I have a little kind of review of his. We talk about progressive Christianity, which he espouses. It's aligned with leftist ideology. And all with the left
believes. Leftist morals.
Well, that too. I mean, ideology informs morals. So it's the whole package. And I've got a breakdown that I'll read in a minute or two, give you an idea. The reason why we're doing this is we're not upset or angry with James Tallarico as an individual. But he represents a body of people.
That's right.
That are out there, and they're confusing the electorate and with their value systems. And they're trying to convince people that on one side they're serving God by what they're doing, But when you listen to what they're saying, what they believe, it does not match up with the gospel.
And he may be in Texas, but this is coming to a city near you. This is not just...
Yes, it is.
I mean, if Texas has this kind of progressivism in it, it's hard in Texas to win with this kind of... it used to be anyway, with this kind of platform. But it is becoming more and more progressive in Texas. And when that happens, we're going to see that across the U.S. We used to think it was California and New York that really hit the Midwest. It isn't. It's more now Texas, because they are progressing into Texas and being more bold. And I don't know if the people in Texas went to sleep, or if there's just a lot of people coming flooding into Texas that are more progressive. But either way, it is up to us in Florida, in Missouri, in Ohio, wherever, to stand and to be willing to take that stand. Okay, I'm gonna back off and let you guys take this, because,
You're absolutely right, Stephanie. Because I have an article here that was written in the New York Times, which goes nationwide. And see, this is the issue. It's going nationwide, and it's adoring James Tallarico. He's saying that I've got a this guy. His name is let me see. I'm right here. David French. He wrote the article in the New York Times column, and he wrote a glowing report. Then a quick response came back from David French by Danny Slavich, who's a pastor. And he wrote on a, this is what he wrote. He goes, I was on a black background in the back window of my 1985 Jeep Cherokee in college. I made a statement with a sticker. Everyone behind me could see what I believed. In simple white block letters, it said, abortion is mean. And then he was thinking about the sticker as a New York Times column from David French made the rounds over the weekend. I was disappointed to see that French offer a glowing description of Texas Democrat Senate candidate James Tallarico. Tallarico is a theologically and ideologically progressive politician. So you got to get that together. He's a politician. He's not a Christian. He's a politician who claims to be a Christian. And it says, who has argued that God is non-binary, that the story of the virgin conception of Christ teaches that a woman must consent to pregnancy, thereby justifying abortion. And this is what this guy stands for. This is what, who this James Tallarico stands for.
Yeah. So in other words, he's saying that Mary had to consent to have Jesus.
Right. From
it's completely heretical. I mean, this is even hard to
I can't even.
I mean,
it just makes my blood boil.
We need to pray for this man, and we have been. But anyways, go ahead.
We have.
Yeah, so it says that the author from the New York Times article, French, he spoke of him in glowing terms despite deep theological and political disagreements. But French believes that Tallarico embodies a needed decency and kindness in political life. And therewith we have the problem, because this is the media supporting and lifting up this guy and making people think that it's okay, that abortion is not is okay.
First of all, it's the New York Times, so we're not surprised, right? We're not surprised. I don't even have a subscription to the New York Times, so I couldn't even read the article. I want to read it, but I'm just – he talks about the decency, though. Who cares if you say it in a decent way when he's blatantly telling you lies?
Well, as I was,
and that's what the Christian church has sometimes fallen for. They've fallen for what is called toxic empathy, where we feel bad and we say it in decent ways and we say it in nice ways. But who cares if it's blatant, heretical, goes against the Bible,
the Word of God?
Yes, the Word of
God. Right. Yeah. And I was speaking with my friend who sent me this. No coincidences with God that I just brought up this conversation with him yesterday, actually on the baseball field, and we started talking about it, right? No coincidences with the Lord.
You did prep research on the baseball
field. There you go, right? And he gave this to me, and he did say, you know, A lie is a lie. It's still poison. It doesn't matter how soft the lie is.
Yep. Right.
And you know what? It eats you up. It eats you up. And it if you don't go against the lie, you're falling into the entrapment of the lie.
Yeah.
And thereby, you can go into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the apostasy of the church.
Yeah.
Right? And the apostasy of the church is the deception and the falling away of the truth of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're witnessing what's going on here right now. And I'm not saying that this is it, but I'm saying that this is a warning that God gives us in 2 Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It's the harlot. Right. And in Babylon and what they're allowing to be OK. And this is what's going on in this country, and that the church needs to stand up more against what is being said in articles like the New York Times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what gets really hard? And I'm so illiterate on this. And I go to Washington. I go here. I go there, whatever. But when you're dealing with the law. You know, we're talking about abortion with him, and when I look at him, I can refute what he's saying.
More than abortion, though.
Well, I know,
he says
but
a lot. Yeah,
but my
wheelhouse,
my wheelhouse is abortion. So I'm listening to what he's saying, and I can refute what he's saying. Right? Not you, Keith. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at Torico.
Right.
I can refute what he's saying, and I can do it in a biblical sense.
Yeah.
So I'm also dealing. Now, bear with me for a second. I'm dealing with abolitionists in the abortion world, which say no abortion, no exceptions, no nothing. A life is a life. And I truly, I'm going to say this out there, I am an abolitionist, okay? But then I go to the laws that I'm having to deal with in Missouri. Now, again, bear with me for a second. And it is so entrapped in lies and so... It is so hard to unravel what's been done within our laws that we need people praying, because it is a God-sized thing. This man is speaking lies.
Evil.
And we have people that want truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this middle ground that you're having to fight it. And it's like, how do I even fight it? Because I've been yelled at by abolitionists before, because the law, you can't... go middle ground on the law. You have to go middle ground sometimes on the law to be able to get the law to even move in the right direction.
Compromise, yeah.
And so if we're not speaking the hard truth, this lie over here is going to overtake the truth. And so this is how the gospel is played out. We have to speak truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, this is hard for a human being as like myself, because I don't want to get angry with these people on this side. I want to speak love to them, but this has got to be spoken out with the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what else to do.
It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit.
And so I'm sorry.
But Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said they're whitewashed tombs.
I know.
I mean, he called stuff out. We have to, I mean, we don't have to be like rude and mean.
And so where do we have to start? Where do we have to start? We have to start within our own selves and take responsibility for our own selves. And that will change the nation. And I can't say that loud enough. Mm-hmm. We have to speak out openly as well.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if we don't have our own belief entrenched in what we're doing, we can't go fight these other fights. We can't go fight against that man that's speaking those lies. The truth of the gospel is simple. It's gentle. It's simple. But man, it is bold.
And it's offensive to people
it
who don't.
It is offensive.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Keith.
Second Thessalonians, verse 3, it reads, "Let no man deceive you by any means."
Yeah.
And what that means is, in other words, don't listen to that which is scripturally incorrect.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which is scripturally incorrect.
That is our...
And you know, I think maybe the issue is because of the incorrectness that, or the
lies.
The lies that penetrate people, that they don't read the word enough to be strong, because the word of God is our shield. Our faith is our shield. And the sword is the word of God. That's what defeats the enemy. yes. in the lies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, let the word of God do the work when we speak it.
In Proverbs 19, it says, this is the ESV version, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Now, what does that mean? It says good sense, which means that if you know the gospel, you're not going to get angry at them. Mm-hmm. You can have the love for them, but you can also speak the truth. And so that gives us, I mean, slow to anger. God is slow to anger. That's a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I have to check myself all the time thinking, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Because it's like, I know people mm-hmm. will say there's a righteous anger. And there is a righteous anger. But I'm telling you what, there's a really thin line between that righteous anger and being able and then kicking it over to a place where, you know, anyway.
I think we need to go over, though, like, for people who may not have heard about Tallarico, what he stands for,
yeah.
what progressive Christianity is.
Right.
This man comes from a seminary that is completely woke. So,
yeah.
And it's Christian. It's apparently Christian with my quotes in my fingers. He goes to an Austin Presbyterian seminary that's pro-abortion, pro-BLM, pro-LGBT, and pro-illegal immigration. Austin Presbyterian Seminary. So David's going to give us a rundown.
I've got a little survey of...
Yeah.
Of the difference between traditional Christianity, theology, and progressive theology. There are five separate area categories that I'll be talking about. I would ask you, listener, to listen. If you're a listener, listen, and maybe you want to call maybe before or after the break. And I'll give you that number now if you can write it down. It's 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And so the traditional Christianity, in the area of the Word of God, the authority and interpretation of Holy Scripture, in the traditional view, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is to be interpreted literally where the text intends it to be interpreted that way, such as historical narratives, moral commands, and such as that. And it serves as the final authority on doctrine and ethics. And their core teachings in there have to do with marriage, sexuality, salvation, and they're all timeless. So those things. But the progressives have a different view of Scripture. To them, and certainly, again, Tallarico exemplifies this, they believe Scripture is inspired but not cultural, but, excuse me, it's inspired but culturally conditioned. Written by fallible humans in specific historical contexts. It must be read through the lens of Jesus' command to love God and neighbor, which obviously takes it out of the context of the broader interpretation mm-hmm. of the word. And so therefore, and it also aligns with what the liberals love to call relativism, which is there is no absolute truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My truth is relative to me, yours is to you. And often never the twain shall meet, but you have to respect.
Ask that person then, do you believe that there is truth and absolutes? And when they say no, you say, are you absolutely sure about that?
Yeah, right, and they can't because...
Well, they just put an absolute out there, no.
And, but there is, God has given us absolute
That's
truth,
right.
And it's in the Word of God.
John 14:6, I am the way, the truth.
Mm-hmm. And the life.
And the life. No one comes to the Father except
One of Tallarico's statements that exemplifies this is he has said, and this is a quote, the Bible is all over the place when it comes to marriage. And he goes to Galatians 3:28, where Paul says there is no male or female, but of course, and he ends there, for you're one in Christ Jesus. Well, and he also says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. Yes, there's a unity in the community of faith, but that does not eradicate the differences that God made us, male and female.
And he needs to read the context of those scriptures, too, not just pick it out and then take a stance. You know what I mean?
If he did that, it would destroy his narrative.
Yeah,
and that's why they
see right through it. I mean,
so anyway, that is one of the many statements he's made that shows he is a progressive Christian. He does not believe the Bible is the authoritative Word of God.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
Secondly,
not good.
The nature
that's
of God.
Not good. That's not good for him.
The nature. No, it's not. I mean,
how many more?
We need to pray for
you. Were going to go for
a couple.
More?
There's a couple more.
Okay.
The nature of God, Jesus, and key miracles. The traditional view, the one we all hold here, God is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Three persons, one essence. revealed in Scripture with masculine pronouns in imagery, though not male in the biological sense, but God has chosen to reveal himself as Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Jesus, male, of course, mm-hmm. Son.
Yes.
Holy Spirit has a male sense, too, coming from God. Jesus is fully God and fully man. The virgin birth, incarnation, miracles, atoning death, and literal bodily resurrection are historical facts central to salvation. The progressives, on the other hand, say that God transcends human categories of gender and is often described in more inclusive or non-binary terms, which, frankly, they're just making it up.
Yeah.
Because the scriptures do not allow us to believe that.
He's adapting the culture to make it fit into what he says exactly. in the Bible. Well, again, so.
It has to fit their narrative.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tallarico has said that he'd argue that God is non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
That was mentioned earlier.
Yep.
And so now here's another critical area, salvation, atonement, and exclusivity. We believe the traditional view is humanity has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation comes solely through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Substitutionary atonement, his death that paid for our sin, and his resurrection. Heaven and hell are real. Jesus is the only way to the Father, John 14:6.
Yeah.
All religions do not lead to God, and only through Jesus Christ. The progressives, on the other hand, view the emphasis shifts for them to following Jesus through, and this is the underpinnings of the leftist narrative, through social justice, compassion, and inclusion, rather than doctrinal belief or substitutionary atonement. Many lean toward universalism, which means you don't have to worry about sin, you're all saved just because you're born. and that, of course, now Tallarico has said, he suggested all religions contain the same truth as Christianity. Even though he's in a Christian seminary hoping to be ordained.
New York Times columnist Ezra Klein asked Tallarico a question. I just want to bring it up because it pertains to what you're talking about. He asked Tallarico this. Do you believe Christianity to be more true than other religions? Tallarico said this. I believe Christianity points to the truth. I also think other religions of love point to the truth.
Yeah, and that's
another thing. That is just heretical.
They misinterpret love to begin with.
Yeah.
It becomes kind of mushy, sentimental, romantic almost kind of love.
But when he speaks and when you watch him, like you guys have seen him, right, on the podcast or interviews, he really believes what he believes.
He does believe it.
It's not like you could tell that somebody's trying to make it up to try to get somebody to vote for him, but he really, and it's the lie, it's demonic. Call it out, it's demonic.
And the teaching here, of course, is to the listener God expects us to be responsible when we make leadership decisions in our nation.
To be biblically literate.
And while we trust God is allowing leaders to emerge and to be selected by whatever means they are and to be hold office, we as a electorate are responsible to seek God's will concerning that person, to discern whether their assuming of leadership is going to be a blessing or a curse to not just them but to the nation. And make decisions accordingly through proper prayer and scriptural understanding. Those are the approaches. And if you're not doing that, listener, up to this point, we strongly encourage you to do that. We're coming up to a break time, but I don't want to break until everyone has had a chance to say what we need to say on this topic because we're going to shift to Iran when we get back.
Well, he said in the New York Times article, and I didn't read the article, but I've read a lot of articles about the article, that we as the church are starting with our politics and our faith is growing out of that. That's a complete lie. We believe what we believe, right? I'm looking at all my co-hosts and producer from the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like we don't look at politics and then we determine what our faith is. We look at what the word of God says. And then that's what our belief comes out of. That's what our politics come out of.
Yeah, politics should be downstream from the gospel, not the other way around.
And people are believing what he's saying. He said, people are baptizing their partisanship and calling it Christianity because he's trying to say that we're trying to make it partisan. I mean, we here on the show just say it's all about the word of God. You know what I mean? One party obviously represents more the word of God than another party. But, I mean, he's completely trying to defame Christianity. It's really sad.
It really is sad.
That is the bottom line, though. Mm-hmm. In anything like this, when people start speaking out, spewing lies, that is what they're trying to do, is to defame the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ in there. That is just not something we want to defame.
And as midterms are coming up in November, at a critical time of voting in America, and now I'm listener, maybe you're saying, Texas, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What about Martin County?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What about the state of Florida? We're coming up on, some people are running for office.
Yeah.
Some are wanting to be reelected.
Yeah.
Are they representing the best of what God has to offer through believers? This is what the church is called individually for us to look at, to pray about, and ultimately to act on in the polling booth when that time comes. That's why we're bringing this up.
Amen.
Let's take a little break. Keith, just one last word, bro?
Yeah, no, we talked about it before, and we had the program on this before about from the Constitution, that everything originated from God and that our politics is from God, right? And when they wrote initially, you know, the freedom of religion at that time, they weren't including Islam in 2025.
Right.
They were including the fight against the British, Protestantism that started the separation, that made them come to this country. Mm-hmm. And this is where they wanted the freedom of religion to practice and worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen. Yeah.
That was the original issue. That's what this country was founded on. And it's gotten away from that because of all of the cultural differences that have come into this country and not assimilated with the United States, but started setting up their own nations within the United States.
And just to add to that, the church kind of withdrew behind its own four walls.
Absolutely.
And that isn't good either. But that needs to change too, and it will. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. If you want to call, 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Well, we're back from the break, and again, if you want to call, 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100. And I want to say before we go on, we will not be broadcasting this program next week or the week following because we have our spring prayer and share fundraiser here at the radio station, and so we will be on the air preempting a lot of programs so that we can enable our listeners to hear what God is saying to them about donating for the next 6 months of this ministry's operation. So there you go. And we are back. So, and I think I'd mentioned that Iran is the next thing we want to talk about. I'm just going to throw this out to the to the crew here while I punch some buttons at my end.
Well, they recently, when I say we, I think it's 88 clerics of Islam, of the Muslim religion, elected a new leader, and that new leader's, tell me if I'm saying this right, Mojtama Khamenei, 56, and he's the second son of the late leader. And as I was reading a lot about him last night and just watching videos, this guy seems to be more, I don't even know how to say this, more radical than his father. It's really, 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 really scary.
Isn't that how it works?
Doesn't he have like a short leash? Because I'm sure that he's going to be, I think he's injured now. I don't know if he's been killed, but this man is definitely going to be targeted. But I don't know. What do you guys think about him? And the IRGC, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, I think we bombed their Air Force headquarters, if I'm not correct. Am I right? Their aerospace headquarters linked to satellites, missiles. So the war is going, is progressing. And Trump said that he thinks it's almost done. Did you guys hear that?
I heard that. I don't know. I know he knows more than we do, for sure. He's getting reports from all the pertinent areas. There's a question, and probably they have attempted to destroy every significant part of Iran's defense infrastructure.
Yeah,
and they've made a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, and the
leadership infrastructure.
Yes, and also the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is what really has power, and they did strike its headquarters on Sunday, which is huge. And I believe that they don't have any more ships remaining, that we've sunk
all their navies at the bottom of the sea.
Correct. So I'm excited, because not that I like death, I'm not glorifying death, but to see the evil that is before our eyes being dismantled because of Israel and the United States working together. It's beautiful. And to think, because we are a biblical response, like the underground church will be above ground now. And then people who have never been able to hear the gospel can now hear the gospel in Iran.
And the people themselves to be finally free of the oppression of the Islamic power that's been in place since 1979. The big thing, the one big thing, there's a lot of reasons why they initiated this military action against Iran, but the potential nuclear capability of this nation, tremendously avowed against Israel to the point of wanting to eliminate the Jews, to have a nuclear weapon, there are two big concerns there. One is that they, having a nuclear weapon, will hold that over not just their region to gain whatever they want, but they would actually use it. They would have no compunction to actually use that weapon. And for those two reasons alone, they cannot be allowed to have, because they will use it.
Yeah, and I think that's a misconception on the side of the left, that they don't believe that that's going to happen. And this is where the argument might be stemming from.
Right.
And if they tell you time and time again that we're going to kill you, you know, what does it take for them to believe that that's what they mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, so where is the argument coming from with the history of this nation?
Yeah.
And all that has been, all the actions that they have taken in order to destroy America or Israel, because they've done America in little spots here and there, and Israel they've done in large quantities, right? They keep attacking. What does it take for them not to believe them? I don't understand I don't understand. What don't you hear?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I think people don't know what evil is. You know what I mean? I think as Christians, we know what evil is, and this is an embodiment of evil. Like, Keith, you were talking, what is it going to take? They just killed what is estimated, Iran, 50,000 protesters who are just
protesters
on the streets.
Protesters. Innocent people.
Those are their
innocent
own people.
Right.
Okay. If they're killing their own people, they're going to very readily kill anybody.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Look at the girls' soccer team from the, the Olympics?
Iran.
Okay.
Not the Olympics, it was just the women's.
Okay. They went around and they didn't salute to the national anthem
of Iran.
Right. So now they're called traitors and now they're going to be killed. And now some of the girls, from what I understand, are staying in Australia. They've got,
They got asylum granted.
Thank you. That's
so they're not going to be killed because they're not going back.
Well, wait a minute.
Really?
So here's the other half of that, okay? Some of the girls are going to go back because they're afraid for their family who has been threatened to be killed. So they're going to kill their family. If they don't return, their family is going to get killed.
Oh, I didn't know that, Keith.
So now, and I just heard this morning, and I'm telling you, it was like in 2 seconds of crossing, you know, that the family is going to be killed. So they are flying back
to
protect their family.
So here's a bigger picture. I don't understand this. Yes, we do need to pray.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's the first thing, right?
Yeah.
One thing I don't understand is I'm looking at the map right now between Iran and Israel.
Yeah.
There's not that much space. Do they not understand if they put an atomic bomb there, a nuclear bomb there, it's going to affect their area as well? My brain can't wrap around it. I mean, I know that's...
But they think that what's happening when they die is they're in heaven, right? They don't care.
I get it, but yeah. I don't understand it.
Well,
I just can't wrap my brain around it.
We have to get back to the essential nature of evil.
Yes.
Now, we will say, and there are many people that haven't faced evil. They think they have, but this is pure evil, okay, in that you cannot negotiate with evil because you want to use reason, and evil does not have any place to address reason.
Yep.
Evil is, they want what they want. That's all that they want.
And
so,
I know that they're not.
Well, let me play out this thought because so that the misunderstanding among many people, otherwise good people, who believe that there is a possibility of diplomacy with nations like Iran, Islamic nations. And I think it's great that we hold out in many circumstances with many people the possibility that we can be diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, diplomacy requires reason on all the parties who are seeking to have a diplomatic resolution to an issue. And everybody but Iran will bring that to the table to one degree or another. But these people have already exemplified...
The leaders.
The leaders of not the people of Iran, certainly, but the leaders, the Islamic leaders, that they really, they will lie in order to circumvent decision-making or to put things off, or to make people feel comfortable there may be a diplomatic solution. But evil will not ultimately reason with you.
No, so, you can't reason with evil.
But let's embrace that fact now. Helps us understand really not just why Iran's doing what it's doing, but how do you deal with evil?
You have to completely obliterate it.
Yes. And that, there's unfortunately, no involves the people who are the mediators of evil. And it's sad, but it's historically how that's always been dealt with. In the Old Testament, in all the books, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, how God got his people into Canaan, the promised land, and those people who are already living there, very much like, I mean, attitudinally, like the Iranians or like Muslim leadership, is they were already completely dedicated to evil. And so when God, and you can read this, I'm not making this up. You can read that. What does God say again and again?
Yep.
When you go in, completely devote the people to destruction, even to the point of saying, don't even keep their animals. Destroy them.
Completely.
Obliterate them.
That's it.
Now, this is God saying this to Israel so that they could fully attain. Now, they didn't completely honor God with that. That's why we have the Philistines,
Samaritans.
Then the Palestinians, the Samaritans.
Yeah.
So they didn't quite honor that, so they had thorns in their side. But here is this is true. This is from the Word of God. And how today it doesn't change. How you deal with evil, the Scriptures tell us how.
Yeah. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Amen.
Matthew 10:28.
It's a sobering thing.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, President Trump was at the table with the Iranians for a new agreement to be made. Mm-hmm. And they would not come away from that they wanted nuclear arms. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times they tried to negotiate that they wanted nuclear arms. And this is what President Trump just said. And this isn't about President Trump or for President Trump. This is what happened because they did not want to in agreement with their neighbors, because Iran is saying Iran is Iran and that's it. So they don't like Israel. And they let everybody know it. This is what we're going
to
do.
They call death to Israel.
They call death to Israel.
Death to the U.S. They hate Israel. They want to obliterate any Jew. They want to obliterate those who even support Israel, like us. Yeah. They have an intense hate.
And evil is the absence of God. Because what is God? God is love.
They hate God.
God is love, right? So evil is the absence of God.
Yes.
And you can see it in the... disrespect of life over there, because they life has no
value
or no worth over in Iran.
You know, as we're talking right here, it's interesting how the Lord just kind of downloads things.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the beginning of this program and Tel Aviv, and I'm looking at, you know, the Iran thing going on. And as you guys are talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, these things are so connected. Mm. They are so connected. And we're, this country has been given a gift.
Yes.
And you can see the evil trying to destroy the
gift. From within. Yes. From within.
And so you look at, you know, you look at the Jewish people and the people that brought Christ into the world. That was what they were chosen for, was to bring the Christ into the world. And they did. I mean, that was the bloodline, right? That came. So in that, people are trying to destroy where Jesus came from. It's this God centered, right? They hate God. It's not even that they are looking at Jesus.
Right.
They are hating God himself. And that is, I mean, it's just unbelievable that we are dealing with the same evil, but it just looks different within the United States. But it's the same thing. It's the very same.
And it's the spirit of man that is doing this. It is the spirit of man that is doing this, because it's the spiritual battle that they tell us about, right, in the book of Ephesians. It's the spiritual battle.
And it's the battle that went on in the garden. It went on with Satan before God, that said, I want to be as God or bigger than God. I want to be greater than. Pride.
It's pride.
It's pride, and it just shows itself in so many different areas. And when it bubbles up into something like a nuclear bomb.
And that's where Iran is, right?
I mean,
in pride.
Goodness gracious. And then we've got, but we here in the United States, we can actually take action
against it
in the ballot box at this moment.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I know that sounds so simplistic, but it's not. It's a very important thing that God has given us. It's not a democracy. It's a republic, which means that it's not mob ruled. It's individual people going and making a difference.
And that's what they're using against us.
I know.
To change the laws in this country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's why you have to get out. They're using our own laws to go against us and to change America from the inside out.
Yeah.
And this is why, really. You have
Sharia
to read.
Law. You have to talk about Sharia law. Well, because
we don't
they
even have to go that far.
Just
look at the amendments that we're trying to put on the ballots.
Yeah.
That right there is taking it from the inside. Sharia laws, yes, we can see that. But guys, the amendments to change the Constitution of the state or the government. Go ahead.
Yeah.
How do you get Sharia law on the ballot box for Texas in the municipal vote to be put on the election ticket in November for the midterms?
Mm-hmm.
They're voting whether or not to have Sharia law.
Well, they did already.
Yeah, but they to put already. It on the ballot box. That's what that for the national for the midterm election.
Yeah.
So that it goes on the midterm election.
Yes.
But this is where the country is. Well,
it's sad that we are at the point where we have to put a proposition in Texas
to stop
they just
Sharia
voted
law.
For to ban Sharia law.
Right.
It's sad that you have to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
To ban it. So they did that.
Well, yeah. And I'm going to Missouri for 6 months to go fight abortion up to birth because they voted that into the Constitution, which I know we defeated it down here, but it's coming back here.
Yeah.
Stay vigilant. Yeah. Stay vigilant. This is not over.
These are the leftists.
This is the enemy who wants to destroy a country that was founded by Jesus. Founded this country. The only reason why we were able to withstand against the Britain army. Come on, right? We were like the little peons against the huge rising army. And we are the light in darkness. We spread the gospel all over the world. And they want to just death to America. Why? Because of what we do as Americans. We share the gospel. We give hope. If it wasn't for the United States going with Israel, how could we get rid of bomb Iran? The United States was key in that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look at how much the United States is a light to the world. And that's why the enemy is completely against the United States.
Right. And again, we're... Christian
and then
nation.
People are saying that I substitute teach in St. Lucie County Public Schools, and I tell the kids, eighth grade, that we live in the greatest country on this earth, and they've been brainwashed to say, no, we don't, Miss Ann. We don't.
What?
And I want to know, this is how young the people are thinking. No, no, we don't, Miss Ann. If you look at what's coming at our kids, they want people to hate America. Mm-hmm. They want people to hate America. I think that's part of the reason why the Lord put me in school is because I'm seeing what's coming at these kids, and it's so sad.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I go, well, if you leave, you're going to want to come back. You want to live somewhere else? And I go, why do you think people are coming here in droves to want to stay? That's the lie from the enemy. We are blessed to live in the greatest country. We are blessed to live here.
When you mention these kids today and they're being brainwashed, it also goes far to explain how now adults who go and vote have no clear understanding of what they're, why they're, what they're voting for, who they're voting for, because as kids, this has been going on in public education for generations, is that they've been brainwashed, in part, to not ask questions about what's going on, accept it, and fly under the radar.
No critical thinking.
Critical thinking.
Yeah. Well, you know, the parents need to step up in the house.
Yeah.
To be motivated, right? To be motivated. And I'm sorry, David, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But not only for the critical thinking from the schools, but also from the family.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's on adults too, right? Keith?
Right.
It's not only on the children. Are they just watching whatever socials and taking it as truth? Or are you critically putting it against the word of God?
Yeah.
I want to bring up the Save America Act, because the Save America Act is it's called the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, and it passed the House in March. But that is the Democrat Party trying to not allow it to come to pass. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
You know,
so then the illegals could continue to vote, and there's it's so self-explanatory.
Right.
It's so common sense that you present an ID when you vote.
Right.
But they don't want that to be.
The Lord put that on my heart during the program, and I didn't bring it up because, you know, not to be political.
That's okay.
But this is, but the SAVE Act,
Save
America Act, to restore America to its original, laws, which means you need identification.
Yes.
In order to vote, to prove that you are a United States citizen.
It's so common sense.
Now, this is how bizarre this country is becoming, okay?
Yes.
Because Mondami, a mayor in New York City, who is a Muslim, by the way, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Just, okay, good for him, he's a Muslim. But he wants 5 forms of ID. When they had the snowstorm, you had to have 5 forms of ID.
To go out to shovel snow. Yep.
5 forms of ID to shovel snow. They don't want you to have any ID to go and vote. But you need 5 forms of ID because what did he say? Because that's what the law says. That's what he used. The law in New York, if you want to be an employee of New York City, this is what you need. But if you want to make decisions, if you want to be a decision maker in the country of the United States.
And affect change,
you don't need identification. So anybody can come in from anywhere around the world and come in and say, you know what?
You know what? I could vote. I just crossed the border. I don't need an ID.
Right, and that's what they're doing.
And then if they allow them to cross the border, then what, they're allowing them, they're giving them this opportunity.
Don't
then
get
they're
going to
vote. They're going to vote for them.
They're giving driver's licenses to illegals out of New York, and they're just letting them drive a car, and they can't read the road signs. This country has got to wake up.
Yeah.
It's got to wake up. And it's premised under the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And to go back into the Word. You need to go and read the Word of God.
Yeah.
You need to go and read the Word of God because, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back a second time.
Yeah.
And you have to be aware of what's going on.
Yes.
Not only in the news, because that is the secular world, but you have to know because the prophecies are proclaimed and they are foretold. And all the prophecies that have occurred already from the Bible. And if you go and read the Word, you can see all the prophecies that have been fulfilled up to this point in time and the ones that are going to be fulfilled in the future.
Can I read a verse of scripture?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was just going to go to that too, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So in Psalm 44, it reflects on the past victories of Israel and questions why they're facing defeat and humiliation. And I just want to read this. It's Psalm 44, 5. It says, through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us.
Mm.
In God, because if they hate God, they're going to hate those that speak truth, right?
Yes.
Amen.
In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. And there was a prayer that I read this morning online that I'm like, Lord, we just need prayer today. We need prayer.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. It says, rise up, O Lord. Why are you sleeping? Awake and cast us not away forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and trouble? For our soul is brought low even to the dust. Our bellies cleave to the ground. Arise, O Lord, and help us and deliver us for your mercy's sake. What a word for us today, that it is for his sake that
Amen.
We even speak any kind of truth.
For his glory.
For his
right,
glory.
Stephanie?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
For the uplifting of his name.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
We love the Lord. We want to give him all glory because we're not even able to speak if it wasn't for him, right?
Amen. Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The air that we breathe.
He has brought himself.
And we here and on the studio want to see America saved. We want it not to go downhill. We don't want the world to go in the direction it, because God, but God, like Stephanie said, but God, it's the only saving solution we have is God.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else is going to solve it. Politically, nothing.
Psalm 16, verse 11. Okay. You will show me the path of life.
Mm.
In your presence is fullness of joy.
Yes.
In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. In your presence. And at your righteous right hand, our pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
We need to, as Christians, when we see things are getting hard, just get into his presence.
Amen.
Where there's fullness of joy. And don't allow all that's happening around us to just scare us, because we're not supposed to be living in any fear. But get into the presence of God. Learn to get into his presence. That's so key. We have to be in his presence. I don't go to church to encounter programs. I don't want to. I want the presence in my own devotion time. I'm not reading a book to intellectually learn. I want to be led into his presence. Keith, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, definitely. And our time is almost up. And I just want to remind people that for the next 2 weeks, we will not be on the air. This program will not be on the air, as will many other of your morning programs, because we're going to be fundraising for 2 weeks. At least the weekdays.
But there'll
of
the be good
commentation.
Well,
it will. Yeah, there'll be neat
it'll
stuff.
Be good. Yeah,
going on,
and we'll miss our audience for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll miss doing this for sure. But we will be back. However, tune in, because we do a lot of neat stuff during prayer and share.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't raise money, which is for the next 6 months. We'd like to stay in business, and God's always made sure we're coming up on 36 years old.
Wow.
Actually, it's April the 9th, but
praise
we're starting
God.
March 16th.
Wow.
I don't know why they picked my birthday as the first day of prayer and share, but...
happy birthday early.
Thank you.
I'm the
second oldest person on the staff, so maybe it's just all the venerable people.
I don't know why he always has to bring
people.
It back to age. Why?
I don't know, because age, we live in it. We live in history, and we think of age all the time. I'm not a problem with it.
I think David does.
No, I'm really excited
I
about
I feel my age once in a while.
We do.
I like being around you guys.
Anyway,
I feel young.
So there you have it. Thanks
Praise
for listening.
Lord.
We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.